How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears. Words could not express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. Listen to our heart. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had a thousand years, I would still run out of time. So if you listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. And listen to our heart,
oh, please listen,
hear our spirit sing,
and hear us sing
a song of praise that flows. Our love, just listen to our heart. Thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. And listen to our heart,
oh Lord, please listen,
hear our spirit sing,
and hear us sing
a song of praise that flows
from
those you have redeemed. Words are not enough to tell you of our love. Just listen to our heart. Listen to our heart.
Oh Lord, please listen.
Listen to
okay. So that was a beautiful song. That's one of my favorite songs these days, is Listen to My Heart. And it says that in Jeremiah 29:13, when we seek God, we search with all our hearts. In Psalms 27:8, it says we seek his face, and our hearts are locked in with seeking his face. And Psalm 119:10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. So our heart, the most inner part of us where the word is supposed to be rooted and grounded, is what we search and seek God with. And that enables us to stay peaceful. No matter what's going on around us, and there's plenty going on around us right now, we don't have to get caught up in it. The adversary is always going to set traps. He's always going to try to convince us we're less than God says we are, that God's not faithful. What are we going to do about this? Well, what if the pandemic goes on for the next 3 years? Well, what if? Well, what if we do Isaiah 26:3? You will keep him in perfect peace. God will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Our minds can be at perfect peace when we stay them on God, when we take these wondering thoughts and these questions and this stuff that's going on all around us. You know what? If we just calm our heart down, seek God first, he gives us this peace. He gives us perfect peace. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Look, that was Jesus Christ. And you know what? That was the night he was going to be taken. It was the last moments he was spending with his disciples. And what does he tell them? Don't let your heart be troubled. You think maybe there was a challenge there for the disciples? This is their Lord. This is the guy they gave up their families for. They gave up their businesses for. They believed in him, and they're getting ready to see him taken away and crucified. But he says, do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. During this time, he tells them about the gift of Holy Spirit that's going to come. He gives them a purpose to look forward to. And he does this. It's probably one of the worst times in their lives. And yet, what we're going through is nothing compared to that. Nothing. But the adversary will try to use our emotions against us and convince us that things are happening and things are a certain way when they're really not. Remember who's the father of lies? The devil. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Well, if you're unpeaceful, maybe you need to stop your brain and say, hey, I have a lot to be thankful for. Whoa, wait a minute. I control this mind. I control what I believe. I control what I dwell on. Now, when we're seeking God for answers in our lives with the peace of Christ operating in our hearts, we can seek God's wisdom. We have the wisdom of God available to us to help us make the decisions that we need to make in our lives. But it is truly a very important key to stay peaceful.
Peace.
See, one of the great things about seeking God with all our hearts, it brings the peace of Jesus Christ into our thinking, into our heart. The Word says also, when you seek me with your heart, you will find me. God says that in His Word in the Old Testament. He also talks about seeking Him diligently, and He will answer you. I mean, God is there. He's no matter what's going on in our lives, the things in this world, it's just the world. The things in your own personal heart and life that you question yourself about or you're not sure of, you know what? The principle works the same way, whether it's the things going on in this country, around the world, in your family, in your own heart is where you have to keep your peace. You cannot allow our souls, and that's why I love that song, "Be still, my soul, be still." This soul life, which is part of our thinking, we have to control that, and we have to tell it to be still so it can hear the voice of God, so we can make the decisions we need to make to walk and live and love accordingly to God's Word, and not to be afraid of what's ahead, because God has us covered. So we seek God first. We stay peaceful in what we're doing, and we listen to what God has to say. And God works through us with the written Word. He can direct us to go to His Word to read a verse of Scripture. Have you ever woke up some morning and there was just this one part of the Word that was really on your heart? And you probably read it 150 million times. Well, okay, maybe 150 times. But you think, wow, it's really on my heart. You should go read it. I've been through this both ways, where I did go read it and I didn't go read it. Much better when I went and read it. Because a lot of times there's stuff that you haven't really seen in that section of the Word that God's trying to reveal to you. He's trying to teach you something. And by reading it again and over again, that morning may be just the morning where you'll see what He's trying to tell you. He works with us through His written Word. That's why when we seek Him, we need to go to the Word to seek Him. We need to read what He has had written and protected over 2,000 and some odd years, even more, so that He can communicate with us. That's one major way. Isaiah 28:23 says, "Give ear and hear my voice and listen to my speech." You know what? He also works through the Spirit that is in us. So there's two ways God can communicate with us, but we have to be ready to listen. We have to be ready to receive. We need to remember that God's wisdom is much greater than our wisdom. Proverbs 8:32. "Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways." But he said, more than that, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." I thought that was really cool. But even more, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." You know, Proverbs was written by Solomon to his son. And so it's really written to help us understand the relationship between a father and a son and our relationships as daughters and sons of God with God. There's so much wisdom in Proverbs. I was reading Proverbs a little earlier today, and I never really realized this, but wisdom, the wisdom was with God and in God before God created anything. And God says that in Proverbs. I never remembered reading that before. I was like, I know I read that verse before, but it hit me that wisdom, God's wisdom, was before anything was created. And that's the wisdom we need to seek. You should read that chapter in Proverbs. I think it's chapter 8 in Proverbs. Wisdom talks about what wisdom is. It's incredible. "I have no guile in me. I only want the best for people's life." I mean, it's amazing. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but you should check it out. Luke 11:28 says, "But he said, more than blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Keep it. We close in. God tells us we are not to be entangled with the things of this world. We lock in with God. We listen to what God says. And he tells us so much in his word. It's amazing how much he really, how much knowledge and understanding and wisdom he gives us just in his written word. But then there's that spirit inside of us, that gift of Holy Spirit that he can talk to and communicate with 24/7. 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world." That's what God tells us. Now, God tells us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. We need to be listening to that. Because who is the god of this world?
Satan.
And greater is he who's in me. Who is that?
Christ.
Than the person in this world. And that is so true. Think about it. He crushed Satan's head. When God raised him from the dead, it was over for Satan. He has only time left to try to screw with people's lives, and his time's running out. Don't allow him to mess with your life. Listen to what God has to say.
I am your servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. I need your wisdom, your truth and comfort. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me through your word, through your spirit. Speak your words of life. Speak to me. Speak to me. I am listening. I am waiting. Speak to me.
Thank you.
boy, that you want to make you talk to God and listen to God. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know about you, but music can really touch my heart. It can energize me. And to just see how much of the gospel music that's out there that does line up with God's word and can help us get our hearts to where they need to be. And I know that really blesses God to have that tool to utilize for us, you know. You know, I think one of the greatest pieces of wisdom God can give us for our day and time and what's going on in our lives, and will continue to go on until Christ returns, which is going to happen, and it could be today. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I think God gives such great instruction here on just how we can get through each day, and really a very powerful way. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. God says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And the pulling down of those strongholds is the word of God is a weapon that we use that can take these strongholds that the adversary has built in our lives that we're not so good at dealing with yet, and those things can be pulled down so that we can be masters at dealing with it. And he says that is how we fight a spiritual battle, not carnally, but mighty through God, casting down arguments and every high thing that exhausts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that is contrary to God's word that passes through my brain cells, any thought that I know does not line up with God's word, I need to cast it out. It's my decision to do that. It's not God's responsibility. He's given me the power. He's given us the ability. And he continues to remind us this is what we're involved in, a spiritual battle. And I have to cast it down. I have to make sure I don't allow it to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And then I bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And we do that much more effectively when we seek God first, when we trust God in his word, when we believe in our hearts that God is there and nothing can separate us from God, and when we operate the Spirit of God that's in us, and we fight the spiritual battle with spiritual warfare.